Amen. But God still has a word. And we are so glad and so happy to be with you on today. My wife, Apostle Onisha, and myself are always so blessed to be in your midst, to be in the house of God. We count it a privilege to be connected to this house and to be connected to this people who God has sent us to. And we thank God for the mission, for the commission, and for the assignment that he has for us here. Amen. Make no mistake, anytime God sends an apostle or apostles to your house, they are there on assignment to accomplish something, to institute something, to build and to establish and to cause some things to come to life, to cause some things to be built, to cause some things to be erected, to cause some things to be excavated, to cause some things to be uprooted, to cause some things to be torn down, to some things to be thrown out, and some things to be planted, and some things to be built. Did you hear what I said on today? This is why God sends apostles to houses of worship, because they are master builders and master planters. Amen. And so we pray. We continue to pray that we are doing the work that God has sent us here to do. And we can guarantee you that in 2021, that as God continues to lead us and as he continues to guide us and whatever he has for us to give to you, we will do it with all of our might, and we will do it with everything that God has put on the inside of us. Amen. And we just thank you for your willingness and for your vulnerability to allow us to do this type of work in this type of house. Amen. We count it a privilege. Amen. Hallelujah. Cooperation and collaboration with God, part two. Amen. Cooperation and collaboration with God, part two. Amen. Our key scripture for this series is Matthew 6 and 10, which reads, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." Matthew 6 and 10, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." This is our key scripture for cooperation and collaboration with God. Amen. In our first message in this series, we discovered that the way that God gets his kingdom from heaven and into the earth is through man's cooperation and collaboration. And we said that when Jesus was teaching his disciples how to pray, he made this prayer the chief or the priority of the prayer. He said, "When you pray unto the Father as an agent in this earth," he said, "you should pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." And then he says, your focus should always be on his kingdom and his kingdom being manifested in the earth. Even so much that you should ask for it and pray for it, that you should intercede for it. He says your focus should always immediately be in prayer. Anytime, and this is a nugget, anytime you go before God in prayer, the kingdom, the bringing God's kingdom into the earth should always be the main focus. I'm going to say that again. When you go to God in prayer, the Bible says, "Come boldly before his throne of grace that you may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need." Anytime we go before the throne of grace, God's throne, and as we pray to God, our initial focus should always be, I want your kingdom, your plans, your will, your desires, your agenda to be manifested on the earth. Even before I ask for anything, even before I ask you to save my family member, even before I ask you to get this job, even before I ask you to change my finances, even before I ask you to heal my body, he says the focus should be, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Why? Because as you seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, all these other things that you want shall be manifested according to God's purpose and his will and his agenda. So when you pray God's agenda and his will, you automatically get what's supposed to come to you. I'm going to say that again. When you pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, when you pray God's agenda in prayer, you automatically get what's supposed to come to you. So we have to flip the script and keep the main thing the main thing. We have to keep God's kingdom the main thing. And not only keeping his kingdom the main thing, but always focusing on and being willing to operate with God and cooperate with God and bringing and manifesting his kingdom concept in the earth. This is vital. Because someone in the earth has to be willing to do God's will. I'm going to say that again. Someone in the earth always has to be willing to do God's will, because that's the pattern and that's the process by which God gets his kingdom in the earth. By partnering with someone who is willing to say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And today I want to give you an exact illustration of this truth. There's countless stories in the Bible that reveal this same process and that reveal this formula. But I want to give you one on today that we're familiar with, and it's so amazing because we're coming up on the Christmas season. And I don't want to get all into when Jesus was born and when we're supposed to celebrate it. We celebrate the birth of Christ on December 25th. And, you know, it's not a pagan thing. It's just an acknowledgement thing that, you know, we as a body of believers, we as Christians, we acknowledge that this is the time that Jesus is born. We celebrate his birth. Amen. And we thank God for sending his son into the earth. So that is what the Christmas season is all about. So as you celebrate with your families, as you celebrate with your friends on this Christmas season, remember that Jesus is the reason for the season. Amen. But I want to give you three things that God does and is God's will to get his kingdom in the earth. Number one, God wanted to establish his kingdom in the earth. Number one, God wanted to establish his kingdom in the earth. So it's always his priority to get his kingdom in the earth. Number two, God needed to send a king to officially institute and proclaim his kingdom, because you can't really have a kingdom without a king. A kingdom exists because there's a king. And so in order for the kingdom to be instituted and proclaimed, you have to send a king that has the authority to make proclamations. Amen. And so he wanted his kingdom in the earth. He needed to send a king to oversee this kingdom and to proclaim it. And then thirdly, he needed someone willing to be the catalyst for this king and kingdom to be manifested in the earth. He needed a catalyst or a partner in the earth, someone willing to do his will so that his kingdom could be manifested and realized in the earth. And so we're going to look at how God done that exact thing. Turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 1, verse 30, and we're going to read through 38. And I'm going to be reading through the 21st century King James Version. Luke chapter 1, verses 30 through 38. And I'm going to tell y'all, read God's word. And when I say that, read God's word line by line, precept by precept. And because you will discover more revelation through reading the full context of God's word, rather than just picking and choosing what makes you feel good. Reading God's full word within its context will bless you, because it will help you to see the fullness of what God wants for you and has for you. Amen. Luke 1, chapter 30 to 38, I'm going to read. And it says, "And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. So God comes to a young girl named Mary who is espoused to be married. And he interrupts her life right before she is about to be married. Which in that culture, when you are espoused to be married, you were basically married. It was just a matter of actually having the ceremony. But God interrupts her life, her plans, and says, I have an assignment for you, Mary. I am trying to get my kingdom into the earth, and I need to send a king to do so. And he says, I need to partner with you. So he sends another agent, an angel, to come and deliver this news unto Mary. And I thought it was interesting because when the angel speaks to Mary, he says, you have found favor with God. God has specifically chosen you for this specific assignment. And he says, behold, you shall conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son. And not only that, but he shall bring forth a kingdom. He shall reign on the throne of his father David. And of his kingdom, there should be no end. So right from the very beginning, up front, God reveals to Mary, this is a kingdom agenda. I am birthing a kingdom through you. Amen? But then in verse 34, it says, Mary responds to the angel, and she says, then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? Now, why is this important that we look at Mary's question? Because Mary was not questioning whether or not she was the right person for the job. I'm going to say that again. Mary did not question whether or not she was a right fit or the right person for the job. She just asked, how would this come about? Because the natural process by which bringing a child into the earth had not happened yet. The requirement for it had not happened yet. So when Mary asked that question, you got to pay attention. This is why you got to pay attention to Scripture. When Mary asked the question, she was asking out of interest and curiosity. She was interested in what God was saying to her, but she needed the details. She wanted to have a little bit more detail about this purpose and the plan that God had for her. And the angel answered unto her, 35, and the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy being who shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. The angel was literally giving her details before the agreement. He was saying, Mary, this is what I want to do in your life. This is the plans that God has for you in partnering with him to get his kingdom in the earth. And I want to give you the details before you agree to the contract. Before you agree to the contract, I want to let you know what you're getting yourself into. 36, and behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. So the angel says, Mary, I'm going to do not only one supernatural thing, but I'm going to do two supernatural things, one through you and one through your cousin Elizabeth. Verse 37, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. It's a reason why I drug those syllables out like that. Verse 37 again. For with God, nothing, somebody say nothing. For with God, come on, I want you to say that with me. Say, for with God, come on, say it with me. For with God, for with God, come on, let's say it strong like you mean it. Nothing shall be impossible. Now, I don't know about you, but when I really thought about this title, cooperation and collaboration with God, This is the first time I've actually seen the verse 37 in the light that God revealed to it today. When we read verse 37, for with God nothing shall be impossible, we read, usually, typically read it within this context. God can do anything. Would you agree? When we read verse 37, for with God nothing shall be impossible, we usually read it from the context and from the mindset of, oh, God can do anything, right? That's our mindset. So what we tend to do when we read such scriptures is we tend to leave all the work up to God. Did you hear me? When we read that scripture in our own context, within our own mind, for with God nothing shall be impossible, we automatically say, well, God, you can do anything. Go and do it, God. But I want to point out a key word in that text. It said, for with God. The word with is a word that means there has to be something else partnering with it in order for it to come to pass. So if we really read verse 37 like it's supposed to read, it says, for with God and your cooperation, nothing shall be impossible. So there's a condition there. There's a condition there. It says, for with God. Notice the scripture doesn't say, for by God. It didn't say, for from God. It said, for with God. Meaning, you have a part to play. Meaning, you have a decision to make. Meaning, you have a task, an assignment. That means you have a part in the plan. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. What that means that when you partner with God and when God partners with you in the earth, there's nothing in the earth that is impossible. I'm going to say that again. For when God partners with you and when you partner with God, there's nothing in the earth that is impossible as long as he has a man or woman that can believe and receive. Notice Mary had to receive the seed. She did not only have to hear the word, she had to receive the seed to be impregnated. Verse 38, and Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Notice that the angel departed after she said, be it unto me. I believe that that angel could not leave until she verbally confirmed her cooperation with God. Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. What Mary was really saying in that moment is, here I am, use me. She said, be it unto me according to thy words. Which really was saying was everything that you said, she said, I accept it, I receive it, and I come in agreement with you. She said, you have my full cooperation and collaboration. What is it that God is trying to get into the earth through you? What is it that God is trying to get in the earth through you? You have to understand that God's kingdom is vast and that there are many things that God wants to birth in the earth and manifest in the earth, and he has to have you to do it. But all of us have assignments, all of us have different things that we need to birth, that God has planned for us and purpose for us to birth in the earth. But what he needs is our verbal agreement. He needs our verbal agreement and our cooperation to allow the process to happen. And so my question to you today is, what is it that God has called you to help him manifest in the earth? I want you to begin to think about that question. What is it that God has been speaking to you and telling you, I need to get this in the earth and I want to do it through you? What you have to understand is this going to church thing is not always about you receiving something and holding on to it. 90% of the time, coming to church is a means by which you get impregnated. I'm going to say that again. 90% of the time, the seed of the word that is being preached from a pulpit is sent to your womb, not so you could hold on to it, because when you eat a seed, it can only feed you. It can't bear forth any fruit. But the seed of the word, God's will, his kingdom concepts, when we stand up here and preach and teach, the goal is not for you to hold on to the kingdom truth that you received. The goal is for you to birth the kingdom concept in the earth. For you to take the seed of the word, which is God's will, God's kingdom, his authority, and to let it impregnate you so that when the birthing time comes, you're able to birth it in the earth. So what we do up here, excuse my French, excuse my language, I'm going to try to be as careful as I can when I say this. What we do up here is by the power of the Holy Ghost is we are constantly trying to impregnate you and penetrate your spirit so that you can receive in your womb, develop it and grow it on the inside of you, and then later birth it in the earth. What does that sound like? It sounds like thy kingdom come, thy will be done in me and on the earth as it already is established in heaven. Amen. So what is it that God has called you and called on your help to manifest in this earth? Number two, what are you carrying on the inside of you that needs to be birthed? What are you already carrying on the inside of you? What has God already deposited on the inside of you that you have yet to develop and birth? You see, there's things on the inside of you that have an expiration date. And if you don't birth it, it'll be a stillborn. You might birth it, but it'll come out stillborn if it's too late. But I believe God is speaking to your spirit even now and saying, that thing which I put on the inside of you is still living, still breathing, still moving, and I want to develop it and I want to birth it out of you so that you can birth it into the earth. Notice Jesus couldn't do anything in the earth until Mary birthed him out. So there's things that can't manifest and can't be an operation in the earth until you allow it to develop on the inside of you and you birth it into the earth. What gifts and anointings has God deposited on the inside of you? What gifts and anointings has God planted on the inside of you that you need to birth, that you need to activate, that you need to release, that you need to manifest in the earth? And number three, this is probably the most important question in this series, is this. After all that you've heard concerning cooperation and collaboration with God, the real question is, does God have your cooperation? Does God have your cooperation? Now, this is something you don't have to tell me, but this is something that you have to really, truly, and honestly answer and be honest with God. Does God have your full cooperation in his kingdom plan? Are you actually walking in the kingdom purpose and the kingdom plan that God has assigned to your life? Have you said like Mary, be it unto me as you have spoken? Have you given God your full cooperation? Because here's what happened. The moment that Mary said yes to the angel, and she gave God her full cooperation. She immediately began to be a collaborator with God, which means together they were raising up the Savior of the world. Do you see how big that is? Together, from an earthly perspective, she was raising Jesus, how to operate in the earth. But God was still there raising him up, how to operate in the spirit. This is why when Jesus did manifest, he could walk the earth successfully and yet operate in the spirit at the same time. Because Mary cooperated with God and God cooperated or partnered with Mary. Later on, Joseph came along and joined the cooperation and collaboration team. And God told him, gave him several dreams. And out of those dreams, he cooperated with God and preserved the child's life twice. And so I want to encourage you today to think about your life, where you are right now. Think about where God has you. And I want you to ask yourself sincerely, does God, number one, what has God put on the inside of me? Or have I actually received, have I conceived what God has offered me? Have I conceived what God has offered me? There's something that God wants to get from heaven into this earth, and I have to conceive it. Have I conceived that kingdom concept, that kingdom plan on the inside of me? Then, if you have conceived it, the question is, have I cultivated it? Have I nurtured it? Have I done my part in developing it so that one day it can be birthed? And if you've done that, the last question is, am I going to birth it? Am I going to produce it? Am I going to push this thing out of me and let God's kingdom, thy will be done, thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven? Does God have your full cooperation and collaboration? Let us pray. And if I could have some music.